Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
It's very nice to see all of you, my dear friends, and a couple of people that I haven't met yet. My name is Carolina, and Les one says that I'm part of the furniture. I think that means that I've been around for a long time. I have, and I've done all the jobs at Canando except for treasurer, and now I basically come in the morning. That's what I like to do. And I participate in Abbott's Council, which has been renamed to be Priest Group. Tonight, let me thank Janet for letting me interview her, and Margaret Harvey for writing a wonderful essay about the art and traditions at Canando and the photographs that Dave Calkins took for that book, and also the website. The website gives all the history of Canando. So my thinking here was that I'd like to convey the deep feeling that I have for Canando, for this place. This place is like a friend. I know that this place has been closed for all the pandemic, and that there's new people that are coming in and that don't know our history. And so I'd like to bring everybody up to date and maybe tell you some things like you didn't know. For example, what does that scroll say? I don't know if you're like you, but me, but I've been looking at it forever. And now I know what it says, but you're going to have to wait. All right. The history of Canando is on the website. And we had the idea to create a new place, a new Zendo, because we needed to move out of the previous Zendo, which was on the intersection of college and university off of Rangsdorf. And we didn't have parking and the place was too small. And anyway, so in 1990, I don't know if anybody was at the meeting, maybe you were, Diana, we decided that we were going to go for it. So there was 10 years of fundraising. So you might want to know who paid for this place. Well, we did. It wasn't like, you know, somebody said, I'd like to make this donation of $1 million. Here's $1 million. Go build a Zendo and put my name on it or something like that. No, the money came from us. The largest donation was $50,000, which came from Steve Jobs, who had been a member of the original Haiku Zendo a long time ago. So how did we raise the money? Les invited somebody who had been a fundraiser at San Francisco Zen Center, and we got together on a weekend, and he trained us on how to ask for money. And we got divided up into groups of two, and then went and visited Sangha members in their homes, and people pledged money. So that's where the money comes from. And when I was interviewing Janet, she was saying that this man taught us that you have to ask. You have to ask. Anyway, so we had 10 years of raising money. then 3 years of searching for a place in this very tight Silicon Valley market. Then we had a year and a half of getting a conditional use permit from the city. And then we our plans for the building were completed in 2004. Our construction was in 2005, and we moved in 2006. Now, that's a long time, you know, from 1990 to moving in 2006. And then our official ceremony was in 2007. There's a bell outside given to us by Les and Mary that commemorates that date. So that's where the money came from. I'm fond of this whole place. I like it getting here in the morning and it's dark, and being welcomed by the sign that Dave Riddell had constructed from wood reserved from old redwood trees that had fallen. So they're, you know, it was putting to use wood like that. I like the madrone that's on the left of the parking lot where you can see the bark. And that's a native of Santa Cruz Mountains. Mary Kay, who's Les's wife, designed our landscaping. I like the cork trees along the side. I like our two little little trees. I like them. And I enjoy seeing the oleanders and how fast they've grown and how tall they are. But what has caught my attention recently is all the yellow little wild roses, that hedge that grows up against the close to the Zando. And I didn't like them at first, and I thought we should have had a better color. But recently I realized that they match the Zando exactly. When we come along to come into the pathway, there's a rock, the first rock on the left. It's a smallish green rock, and that rock comes from Tassajara. Blanche Hartman brought it to us on the day that we had our formal inauguration as a present. So we move along. We always see what's on the bulletin board. But a welcoming thing is that we always had flowers. And, you know, this place is a joy to the senses. We always have fresh flowers, and we have incense, and we have the beautiful artwork. And then we have the sounds of our bells and the sounds of our chanting. In the little area, when we first come in, there's a little altar called a caisando. That's the altar to our founder, and our founder is Suzuki Roshi. Now, there's a photo of Suzuki Roshi right there, and he has a bandana on, and that's a photo of him working. And Les could have put the other photo that he has in the interview or Dokusan room, which is a very formal photo of Suzuki Roshi, but he chose to put that one there to remind us of the importance of work. And I think I learned that, you know, your self-esteem is related to your work, you know, how well you work and how selflessly you work. So that's a reminder. But there's two pictures, there's two photos of Suzuki Roshi. I'm always moved by how sweet Suzuki Roshi looks. I don't know. I just feel a tenderness when I when I look at Suzuki Roshi. And when you're moving towards the entrance here, also there's a scroll hanging in that little Kaisando area, and that's the scroll of the founder of the Zen tradition, and that's Dogen. And that scroll was given by Suzuki Roshi to the old first Kanendo or Haiku Zendo, which was at the starter garage. And so that scroll comes from there. Now, when you come in here, when I was writing this, it dawned on me that everything in the place is old, everything, except for the chairs and the recording equipment, and now our computer. We didn't go out and buy new. All these toms come from the old place, and even our cushions are old and come from the old place. But why does everything look so nice? That's because every Saturday morning, the cushions are brushed off and the floors are cleaned and the place is spotless. This place shines. Look at this floor. It absolutely shines. Now, our things on the wall, the scrolls on the wall are also old. The one behind me is the one of Avalokiteshvara, or Kannon, and she was, where do I have, I want to make sure I've got this, I'm not confusing it with something else. She was painted by a monk named Tada-san, who was at Tassajara at the same time that Les was there, and it was a gift to Les. The calligraphy over there was also a gift to Les by someone named Nyori Roshi, and he gave it to Les in Japan after Les did his Dharma transmission, and that was in 1985. And it means the sound of the valley is his great tongue. The colors of the valley are his pure body. Our altar, the altar table comes from Janet Harrington's garage. And I always knew that, but I didn't know that somebody had given it to John Sullivan and that John Sullivan had given it to store in Janet's garage. And there's a little story that there was a little plate, a little piece that came off easily. And John hung on to that until the altar was placed in here. And then he glued it on. Everything here has been very carefully taken care of. And I was dusting this off the day we had the big cleaning at the beginning of the year. And everything is a little shaky here. Our tablecloth comes from, I don't know if people knew Hiromi. And Hiromi's mother in Japan gave it to Hiromi. So that's from Hiromi. Our little figures here were made by Jack Van Allen, who is a professional. And he gave them to us. The one on the right is Manjushri, and he holds a sword. The sword that cuts through delusion. And that stands for wisdom. And then we have Kannon here, and she represents compassion. And she has flowers on her hand. Now, our Buddha, I want to get the story correct here. Yeah. The Buddha had been a gift from Koben Shino, and Koben Shino came after Suzuki Roshi to help Suzuki Roshi, I think, was to help Suzuki Roshi with the forms at Tassajara. So that comes from Kobenchino. And the right hand is raised with the fingers flexed like that. And that stands for no fear. And then the other hand in the lap, in my Margaret Harvey wasn't sure what that meant, but she thought it meant it was an invitation to come and learn Buddhism. Now there's the two incense burners. The first one's a chip incense, and that was a gift from Les. And I don't know what the back incense, the big green one, but that one has been around forever. I've seen it in a picture of a portrait of Suzuki Roshi, and it's, you know, right here. I've had the job of doing the altars many times, and it was my job when I first started coming to Canada at the old college place. Les gave me that job, and I did it always. And I remember cleaning that big one out and showing one of our younger members last Saturday how to do it. You know, you don't just pick the incense out. You know, everything has to come out. You have to eventually just shake it all out. You see, is there anything else? Yes, on the altar, we also have two books. And the one on the right is where we write the names of people that are ill, family members and friends. And when we have the well-being service on the Saturday morning, we chant their names. So anybody's welcome to do that. The other book is a membership book, where if you want to become a member of Canando, all you have to do is sign the book. You ask a member to come up to the altar with you, and you sign the book with your contact information, and light incense and bow, and that's it. We also have photographs on the altar when someone dies, a member of the Sangha or a family member of the Sangha. We put their photograph up, and we keep it for the traditional 49 days, and then we take it down. If you ever wanted to have an altar in your home, the tradition is you have a Buddha, and then there's the offering, the three offerings of flowers and light and incense. So that's a pretty complete about our altar. I wanted to tell you about our floor, but there's a long story of when we were receiving money and asking for money, of almost giving up many times. I don't know if you remember how many times we almost gave up. We just said, no, we don't have the money. We can't do it. You know, how can we go on? And, you know, poor Les is just like, oh my God, you know, we're going to have to give the money back to the benefactors. What a terrible situation. So one of the things that happened was it was difficult to find a lot. So we bought a lot that had two houses on it. And there's the one that's there right now that we can see. And then there was a house right here where this endo, where this endo is. So we rented those two houses out and saved the money from that. So that helped. And then the original plan had to do with building this place and also building another building. But we had to let go of the idea of having another building. So, the courtyard wasn't very nice, and we fixed that up later, and we had a remodel of the back house, very serious remodel of the back house to meet our needs. And we're soon going to be finishing that remodel by remodeling the kitchen. So everything is by increments. One of the last things that we did was we helped with the building of this place. So things like painting and these belly bands that go around. You know, we were the ones who painted the belly bands. And then there was a question of the floor. And I love this floor, not just because you walk in and it's just like a mirror and it's just so shiny and beautiful, but we didn't want an ordinary floor. Because in the old Zendo, we'd had this dark, beautiful wood floor. That is something that we really liked that. And we weren't going to settle for just an ordinary floor. So one of the people that was a member, maybe you remember Howard Wade, he took up a collection to buy the wood, the really good wood, for our floor. And I think we had to raise something like $5,000 for our floor. And then another member was had the project of getting us all to help put in the floor. So, you know, they have the pieces of the floor, and then there's this machine, and somehow it works that you end up fitting in the floor. I remember where my piece of floor went in. It was right over there. Anyway, so I think that's it. You know, this place has a lot of history. It's not like somebody, you know, who just like went out and bought something. It has a lot of history, a lot of love, a lot of work. And the person behind all of this, of course, was Les. He was just his selflessness, his vision, his hard work, his leadership was what built this place. And all the rest of us who went along on the many, many meetings and working here. Anyway, it was, see the results. So I told people that I was going to talk about the money, and I was going to talk about the rock from Tassajara, and about the altar, and about the little chain that holds, I think we call it the vac room, where we keep the brooms and the rags and all. We keep them. There's a little black room right out there. And there's a little chain that holds the door open of the door. There's a little chain that connects it to the wall and keeps that the door open. And I had an enlightenment experience watching that. I saw Les very carefully attach this little chain just to keep the door open. And it was just what a thoughtful, lovely idea. And I don't know, it just really struck me how the amount of attention he paid to absolutely everything remind me of the words of Khalil Gibran, who said that work is love manifest. This place is love manifest when you think of the generosity of the work, of the dedication. And I'm always grateful to Les for three things. One is the gift of the Dharma, which is the best gift of all. Second is the gift of this temple, which allows us to come and sit. And the third thing is the gift of the Sangha. The people make the place, and I've been really fortunate to meet some just really extraordinary, wonderful people. And I hope that, you know, this place lives on, and that it attracts more people, and that we take it to the future. Someone sent me a poem. I'm going to finish off with this poem. And the it was sent to me in Spanish. And the beginning of the poem tries to tie in the word that means Passover and the word that means Easter in Spanish, and just talk about passages and transitions and from one thing to the next. And for example, in the case of the Jews, it represents the crossing of the Red Sea. That is the passage from slavery to liberty. For the Catholics, it commemorates the resurrection of Christ. That is the passage from death towards eternal life. And then the author goes on to say that we all have transitions, and that in this time of transition, that we consider the following. From resignation to action, from indifference to solidarity, from complaint to the search for solutions, from lack of trust to the sincere embrace, from fear to the courage to return to betting everything on love. To pick up without shame the pieces of our broken dreams and begin again, from autosufficiency to sharing our defeats and successes, to make peace with our past so that it does not ruin our future, and to know that our light has no value unless it serves to illuminate the way for someone else. I thought the author's name was Hag Pesach Sameach, but it actually means happy holidays in Hebrew. Good to see you all out there. Yes. Okay, hi.
Could you please tell us about the bells in the Zendo?
What?
The bells.
The bells in the Zendo.
Ding. The wonderful bells in the Zendo.
Well, there are three, and the big one Les brought from Japan. That's all I know.
Ah, thank you.
My question is, who designed this?
Who designed it? Because the architect was somebody by the name of Neil Edwards, and he was a Sangha member. But the design is basically you know, that this is what Zendos look like. Except that ours is a little different because we voted to have a high ceiling. You know, Tassajara is flat, but we have a high ceiling. I don't know what this is called, the wall, but we also voted for which kind we wanted. Well, let's see what our next adventure is. Philip.
I wanted to mention, I lived across the country while the Zendo was being built, but my mother was in assisted living not too far from Rock Street. And maybe once or twice a year, I could come out for a a week or even more. And at those times I was able to come sit. And I was thinking that this was implied in your lovely talk, Carolina, but there are all the people who have been sitting at the Zendo since it was built, and of course before.
Yeah.
That they are also so much a part of your talk, and just to express gratitude that I could come out and there would be sometimes more, sometimes fewer people in the Zendo, but there was always a quorum kind of and once I mentioned this to some folks, but once I came out and I was having some knee problems, and I happened to come in a little almost late into the Zendo, and the only place I could sit was on a cushion between, I forget who the person on my left was, but the person on my right was you.
Oh.
And I don't know if any of you have sat with Carolina, but it's like sitting with that rock from Tassajara. No twitching, no moving. And I was late, and I didn't have time to get some cushions to push up my arthritic knee, and so I sat down without any anything to help, except for Carolina's motionless focus on Zazen, and I've never forgotten that lesson. I don't know how twitchy I was, but you really feel
it. It was always so great when you came to visit. And Les would be happy, you know. Does he? You go back many years. When did you were in Haiku, weren't you?
Yes. Yeah. And it's lovely that you pointed out that the so much of what's in the Rock Street Temple, a lot of that was preserved from Haiku Zendo and the University Avenue. It's lovely to feel that. Thank you so much for your talk.
This talk was brought to you by the Canando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canando.org. That's KANNONDO.ORG.